You're listening to the Social Selling Simplified Podcast. Stick around if you too are obsessed with learning things that actually work and believe that success leaves clues. We're all about identifying results-producing roadmaps and getting super clear on how to scale and grow your online business. From part-timer to president, social selling expert Ashley Shaw will help you connect the dots and take the guesswork out of what works to grow a social selling empire. It's time to hear from social selling legends, listen in on truthful conversations, and learn the best tips and tricks to reduce the marketing overwhelm so you can build a social selling business of your dreams. If you're ready to go all in, no holding back, and build the business you've always wanted, you're in the right place. Here's your host, educator, social selling guru, and fitness industry OG, Ashley Shaw.
Welcome to Social Selling Simplified. I'm your host, Ashley Shaw. And in today's episode, I'm sitting down with Leanne Kim. So if you haven't heard of Leanne before, she is the creator of the Business of Thinking Big podcast. She's the founder of Mamas & Co. And she's also a business coach where she loves to work with rookies and helping people in those first stages of their business really get set up for success. And if I'm going to like toot a little brag horn here for Leanne, she just held a virtual conference with some of the likes of Tarzan K, James Wedmore, just to name a few. So she is definitely a big deal in the world of online business and helping set up rookies for success. So listen in as Leanne and I dig into some of the tough topics around online business, being moms, and being entrepreneurs in the current landscape. So let's go on that note. Obviously, you know, with the global pandemic going on, there's a lot of things that we can focus on. And one of the things that I love to talk about is what are the positives that people are seeing in the world right now? And maybe that's with, you know, people we interact with on a more personal basis, or maybe it's stuff that is globally just happening. Like I always like watching Ellen or the Good News channel and keeping up on that stuff. So what are some of the positives that you've observed or are seeing?
I'm so glad you asked. I was like smiling when I saw that we were thinking about talking about this, because a lot of the best stories that I'm seeing are coming from my coaching clients. Like I think adversity, although very challenging, it can be such a beautiful thing as well, because it can bring to light problems that we didn't know existed. It can bring to light skills and resources we didn't know we had. And so a couple things that I'm seeing. Number one, I am seeing women learn to pivot that didn't know how to do that before. So I'm seeing women learn to use their own brains to strategize the right next step, even though no one's sure if it's the right next step, let's be honest. But they're going for it. And one of my favorite clients, I mentioned her, Rebecca Lane, she's coming on the podcast. I think it'll air next, like sometime mid-April. You know, she had a brick and mortar music school with 300 students, and she retained 95% of those students and moved everything online within a week. And she is not an online music, like this was not their background. She is not a techie. Like that's not her strength. She just figured it out and just made the decision and informed the people, and the right one stayed. And so like, I'm just loving seeing that women are rising to the occasion. I say women because these are also the people that are at home with their children that are used to having 8 or 9 hours a day to work on their business that now don't have that same expanse of time. And I think I am seeing a lot of brick and mortar, unfortunately. I know how hard the struggle is, but I think people are doing one of two things. One, they're choosing to fight. Two, they're throwing in the towel. And so like, it's very clear to me who is doing what. And so the ones that are choosing to fight, I just applaud them to no end, no matter what that fight looks like for you. And some of you, you have a harder fight than others. But if you're, you know, the ones that are choosing to throw in the towel are probably the ones that weren't going to survive anyway, and probably the ones that were looking for an excuse because it wasn't working out for them anyway. So I think if you are choosing to fight, that is something that I can 100% get on board with. So there's that piece. There's like the people that are getting, you know, strategic and pivoting and moving. I think the other, I mean, gosh, there's so many good things. I think we're learning to listen to what is needed. And I mean that we're learning to listen to ourselves and our what is needed in our households right now. And one of my clients, you know, shared beautifully again on another episode, just how she really got laser focused on what her family needs right now versus getting cluttered with what she's seeing everybody else should be doing, right? The shoulds and the coulds and all that stuff. So I think we're really learning to listen to our own hearts. And then we're also learning to listen socially, which I'm sure is something that you understand inside and out, mm-hmm. but so many of us, especially early days marketers, don't understand that concept of social listening and really hearing and seeing what our people are going through. And I think that this has brought that skill set to life. I think a lot of people are learning to just get quiet and pay attention to what other people are needing right now. And those, the ones that are responding to those needs with their, you know, whatever it is, their free content, their webinars, their paid offers, those are the people that are just going to come out of this victorious, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard a story recently about Dyson and it just made my heart so happy how they have pivoted to start making ventilators in their factories. And, you know, you had said this idea that it is really about pivoting. You see a company like that just, you know, I guess sort of take lemons and try to make some lemonade out of it. And it's super inspiring. I think one of the things I've seen is by asking my audience what they need right now, we've come up with some stuff and it's allowed this creative space that we never would have before. There's things happening in our communities, like a quarantine posting plan. So like social media content to help your business during, you know, this time when people are quarantining. Like we wouldn't have come up with that if we hadn't pivoted and asked our audience, what are they struggling with? So I love that idea that the pivot really comes from asking your audience what they need. And it's this creative space that maybe we wouldn't have had before to really think about how we can support them on that sort of a different level.
Yeah, I think this is forcing a lot of people to rethink the business model. And that's a good thing because so many people keep doing things the way they've always done it because it's the way they've always done it. You and I both know that. I'm sure you know businesses that are doing that. But it's this is a beautiful thing. I mean, as much as this is hurting some businesses, this is also creating massive opportunity. And it's also forcing businesses to modernize. Like the truth is, I had so many women coming to me for the last 2 years saying, I really got to build that online course. I really got to start that membership. And they just didn't do it. And I even offered them help. I created a program that helps people do the, exactly that. It's called Launch Rookies. And they didn't sign up for it. Or, you know. And so I think in some ways, this is the kick in the pants a lot of us needed to do the things that were already on our radar, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. And what would you say that you've done in your business to pivot? Like, what are some of the things that, you know, you're seeing are working and how, what does that pivot look like for you?
So, I mean, the most obvious one was that we took an in-person conference and we pivoted and we turned that to an online conference with zero idea of how we were even going to do that, what it looks like. And, you know, I am just really proud that we didn't quit and that because the information that we're sharing, ironically enough, is it's teaching people how to reach and serve more people online. In like everything you can imagine wanting to know about online marketing, we're teaching that. So it just, that was kind of the irony that, wait a second, we actually are already delivering what people need more now more than ever. Of course, we got to get this into the hands of more people. So that was probably the most obvious way we're doing that. it's also brought to light the idea of leverage and, you know, doing more with less, reaching more people with the same amount of time. And this is an area I've always known that's the area to grow, because I have been at capacity in my coaching business for almost a year. There isn't room for more one-on-one coaching clients. There's only so many hours in the week that I allot for that. So we always knew that the Mamas & Co. community was the best point of leverage. And it's just reaffirming that this 100%, that's where we need to be doubling down. And the beauty of it is the least expensive way people can have access to me, people can have access to our learning, people can have access to one another, like other mom entrepreneurs who are struggling with the same things. It's the least expensive way for them to do that. So it feels really aligned with what's happening right now in the world, that we're not offering something that everyone's going to turn around and go, that's not within the budget now that, you know, X, Y, and Z has happened. And I've always known that we wanted to start to layer in a monthly payment option. And, you know, when we launch again in the fall, that is what we'll be doing. And so it's not so much how we're pivoting now. It's just, it's forcing us to look, it's forcing me, I keep saying us, it's forcing me to look at the business structure and really double down on the places that make the most impact without adding more hours to my schedule, if that makes sense. And I think 100%, you know, we already have hundreds of mom entrepreneurs in this community. This is the way we can help and serve more, 100%.
Yeah, I love that. And so how would you say you are showing up these days? I get questions all the time about Facebook Lives and sort of knowing what to talk about and just with the climate of things. So how would you say that you're showing up in your business these days?
Yeah. So ironically, or I should guess the word isn't ironically, funnily enough, we haven't changed that much. In the beginning, I did have to just take a couple of quiet days and just figure out what I needed and what my family needed. And so I was probably not as present on social in the beginning of the crisis. But as soon as we got through the first few weeks, I mean, for us, it's really been business as usual. We were in the middle of, you know, launching an online conference. And so we just had to continue to do those things. I think that some people are seeing lower, like a decrease in engagement on social media. We haven't experienced that too much, but I know that that is happening because there's just people are, it's noisy right now. And so we basically, my philosophy has been keep showing up, keep doing what we always do. I do a weekly Facebook Live inside my community and we call it like the Monday morning coaching call. So the topics there have changed. They're very timely. We have been doing longer sessions and we have seen engagement go up. So we have more people coming to those and really valuing that time with their coach. Even though it's a Facebook Live, they treat it like a coaching call. And that's been beautiful to see people leaving that on a Monday morning and, you know, really feeling energized for the rest of their week. I think there is probably a bit more of a sensitivity overall and a bit more conscious effort in terms of what comes out of my mouth, because you know I can tend to go on and on sometimes. So even though while I'm thinking about being mindful of people's feelings in different situations, I have not wavered in what I believe in, which is now is not the time to stop selling, because that doesn't serve your audience, it doesn't serve you financially and your family, and it doesn't serve the global economy. There's absolutely no reason to stop selling unless you are a brick and mortar or, you know, someone who has to be seeing clients in close proximity and can't. It almost feels like those of us small businesses and online entrepreneurs who can continue, I kind of feel like it's our duty to do that right now and to continue on. And like I say, don't sell everything. Just focus on the few things or the one thing that makes sense. And your messaging should be around why that matters most right now. If you can't find the words for that, it's not the right thing that you're promoting, whatever, whether it's coaching or whether it's an event or whether it's, you know, membership courses, doesn't really matter. If you can't quite find the words to say it in a way that makes sure people realize that this is the solution to their problems, then it's probably not the right time. But for most of us, I think we have to continue that social listening, really listening to what our people need and responding to that. And so I don't know that it's serving people. I'm seeing some people go like, I'm showing up every day. And, you know, I don't know that more of us is what our people need. Mm-hmm. I think it's maybe just more, it's the right message, if that makes sense. Not more messages or more of it. It's just the right message that they need, the right support.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think what has changed a little bit for me, well, funny enough, everyone I've been interviewing where this question comes up, it's that anyone that's being really successful during this time, that's the same answer. Like, I'm not really changing. I'm just being more in tune and aware that there's a human that is on the other side and making sure that I'm touching base with how they're doing and that sort of idea. But one thing I've noticed just in how I'm showing up these days is I'm really not trying to avoid the obvious, if that makes sense. I've had some Facebook ads that I've been doing and different lives and things like that, but I'm doing them from my house coat. I'm really embracing just what is, you know, what life sort of looks like right now and being 100% okay with showing up that way. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a little bit, for me, it's just real. It's just really what is going on. And I think that that's important in terms of, how we're showing up. I think one other thing I've sort of seen a trend in is more workshops happening, which has been interesting. That's something that I'm leaning into as well. I'm doing an ideal customer workshop. And so that's something different before that I might not have made the space for, but I feel like it's more important than ever for online entrepreneurs. If they really want this, this is the time. And there's more people than ever working out online and online itself. So it's definitely a unique opportunity, but I think showing up, like you said, just being consistent with your message is so very important. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to dive into this question of, you know, to sell or not to sell. That definitely is another question I'm hearing. So how are you approaching your audience? And I know you had mentioned earlier, it's not about 7 offers. It's about making sure it's the right one. But how do you decide what it is and how are you approaching your audience with this?
Yeah. So, I mean, my audience is, they have every different business under the sun. So, you know, it's mom entrepreneurs of all business types. The majority, I would say like at least 50% of the people I coach are coaches or consultants who have a couple of different offers. And their one-to-one, their VIP, whatever that looks like, is usually their bread and butter. And I'm hopeful that in most cases, they still have that. Like, I have experienced people reaching out saying, I need to pause coaching with you. Not very many, but enough that it was, you know, a little concerning in the beginning. We worked it out. It's not a big deal. And so if I'm experiencing it, I know that some of my people might be experiencing it that as well. And so that's where I would say, like, you know, if it makes sense, the easiest thing to do is to keep selling what you already sell. And for many people, that VIP offer, whatever that higher ticket, you're going to get more done and earn more by continuing to sell that offer versus trying to sell a million things at $20 a piece. So that's what I'm seeing is if I can go to what's not working is people who maybe weren't online ready or whatever that are throwing up a one-off workshop at $20 and hoping that's going to pay the bills for the month. And it's just, it's going to take a lot of time and energy and effort. So the number one thing that I think most of us should be doing if we don't have it already is building an online course. I am a big fan of courses. I don't believe they have to take an entire lifetime to get them up and off the ground. I have a methodology of I help people create and launch their first beta course in 6 weeks. And that's through my course called Launch Rookies. The reason why is most of us are already sitting on a course. Like most entrepreneurs, business owners have oodles of information and it's just distilling it down into the, like, what is the thing that people need right now that they would pay for? And one-off classes and one-off workshops are fine, But there's not a lot of longevity there. And it's just going to take a lot of energy and effort to get that to a point where that is paying the bills. And so creating an online course where you teach a specific subject from A to Z, they can watch it in their own time. And maybe you provide additional live support while they're working through it, just so that it encourages them to finish the course and to get the results. Like, I think that's where there's massive opportunity, because once it's created, you have that content forever and you can run it again and again. You can break it apart. You can use, you know, you can provide that. Anyone who works with me on a VIP level gets all of my courses just bonused into what they pay to work with me, because why not? So to me, that is probably the smartest place we could be focusing if we don't already have that. And if we have an audience where, again, it's like kind of like that matching game, like you've got something to teach, they have something they desperately need to learn. If you can find that sweet spot, I think you build a course around that and, you know, charge at minimum a couple hundred dollars, because you want people to really value this curriculum and apply it to their life or business or what have you. So that's kind of where I feel like the most people that want to scale should be looking to right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that idea. I was just talking to someone from actually our past mastermind, Quajo. a chat with him. And I was like, Quajo, like, because he's talking about YouTube and creating all these different resources. And I was like, dude, you need to come up with a course. Like, that's where it's at right now. I don't know if he was fully on board, but I totally agree. I think that's the best time spent is building in that arena for sure. And so what do you think is the best advice you could give on how to add value during a time like this?
Yeah, well, I think it goes back to like the people that have chosen to support us. That's where I want to be adding value, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yes, my greater audience matters. And yes, I am doing bonus podcast episodes and bonus free trainings and all the rest. But I am really thinking about anyone who has spent money to be in my world and learn from me. I want to add massive value. So it's simple, but like I sent one email, not 50, one email to my coaching clients, and I let them know that I'm here for you. I'm willing to be a bit more flexible during these days. So if you need, you know, if you need more flexibility in terms of cancellation, if you need a session earlier than what we've got booked, like let me know. I think that just showing people that you're willing to work with them through these challenging times, it just goes such a long way, and it's a little thing, but it's very much appreciated. And along those lines, I'm just doing things like I'm commenting more on people's social media. I'm DMing people that they're doing a good job. I'll send someone a voice memo when I can see that when I know they've had a hard day. You know, little things like that just make all the difference. And I think people know we can't be all things to all people, and no one's expecting that. One of my members, she never worked with me as a coaching client. She's only a first-time member, you know, spent a couple hundred dollars to be in this community. Out of the blue, she sent me, she is in the gifting world. So she creates and sells handmade gifts and one-of-a-kind gifts and things like that. And she sent me this beautiful package and this handwritten, like quite lengthy note that was just sort of thanking me for being there for the community. And I was so touched by that. I shared it on Instagram and I was showing anyone who came. You know, it's just, so it just truly made my entire week that week. And so I think if wherever our true gifts lie, if it's gift giving for you, for me, it's probably more in the realm of coaching and giving people a boost and pat on the back. Whatever your gift is, if you can lean a little bit more into that now, that's going to go a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I think where I've been spending the majority of my time is definitely with my members as well, and just investing my time there to help them through this opportunity and see it as such. And I think it's also felt like on the other side, very rewarding to be spending time there. I've also found that it's interesting. I don't know if you found this as well. I think that there can also be a lot of, I don't want to say not negativity, but I think there is a lot, maybe like naysayers and maybe like pesky patties or something like that. Like there's those voices seem to be turned up a bit more than usual. Yeah. I've been finding. So I think that where I can add value is I really like to, you know, not hide from that stuff. I tend to share with my audience, even when that stuff comes up for me, and share, you know, people going to bat and, you know, that sort of idea. So I guess I think there's always times that we face criticism and people having a differing opinion. And I think that where I can add value is showing that we all face it. It's like the more impact and the more influence, you just get more of that. And so totally cool. That's not who you're trying to be best friends with anyway. So yeah, I definitely think that's valuable spending your time there.
I was just going to add to that. I don't think there's more judgment than there is normally, but I think we're more sensitive to the judgment right now. And so maybe we're noticing that more. And so one of the things that, you know, we're doing with this podcast, when you ask like, what are some of the good news stories you're seeing, that is adding value. Just remembering that people so desperately want to hear stories of hope and inspiration right now. And if you've got those, if you've got a podcast or a blog or a video, use that for good. Like one of the things that I have always been against is absorbing too much negative information. And my husband, the ironic thing was right before this all happened, my husband and I had a big fight. And he basically was saying, I think you should be more in tune with what's happening in the world, i.e. watch more news. And I was like, I don't need to. I have you for that. You love that. It doesn't serve me to watch more of the news. And then literally it was days later that things were shutting down. And so I think, you know, like there's enough bad news out there that nobody needs me for that right now. Nobody needs more info from me or, you know, or more facts. What they need is for me to, again, do what I'm great at, which is motivate and inspire and like tell the stories that I tell on the podcast that are already inspiring. But if we can find a way to tell the ones that are happening right now, I think that's really important. So, you know, in your communities, I'm sure you're highlighting people that are doing an exceptional job at this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love that. I think that's definitely, that was another thing actually Amy Wine talked about, is that even having the news on in the background impact how you feel, even if you don't think you're absorbing it. So I think that's a really important point and something to be mindful of. It can shift your mood very quickly as well.
It does. And I want to say one last thing on this and then we can move on. When it comes to adding value, I think one thing I think people should not do is assume that they are the source of all of the value. So for example, my niece's dance studio is teaching online dance lessons. I think that's great. I also then found out they're sending like academic curriculum as well. And I was like, why? Like no one needs more of what they're already getting from another source. So don't feel like you've got it. And actually I had this idea, Mamas and Co, maybe we should be creating and sharing entertainment for the kids who are at home. And I quickly kiboshed that idea. I was like, no, that's not our job. Our job is to inspire the mama entrepreneur, not the kids. It's not our place. And so I think that when it comes back to what you were saying earlier about knowing where to say no to stuff, this is such a great time to start saying no. If it's not your wheelhouse or if it's not a piece of your mission, don't feel like you have to just because we're in a quote unquote crisis. If they don't normally turn to you for that anyway, don't bother. Like let somebody else be the source of that whatever value.
Yeah, absolutely. And that leads me to my last question here. How do you make showing up not feel awkward or like, I guess, contrived? This is just a question my audience has asked me and it keeps coming up. So how would you answer that one?
This is such a great question because when I think back to when I first got started, I was very awkward on social media and in webinars, like video especially. My writing was very awkward as well, like any written content. So I would say the number one thing that I did over the years to change that is to really think about removing any sense that you're talking to many people or, you know, who are all the people that might come across it. So for a big anxiety for my people is like, what will the people at my old job think? Or like, what will my ex-boyfriend think? Like, who cares? Honestly, you just got to let go of all that. I think about the girl, the woman right now who's at home with two toddlers who wants so badly to grow her business and can't because she just lost her childcare and her free time in the day to work on her business. You know, I think of that person who's stuck or in pain, and I think about having a conversation with them. And I think that's what the best social media feels like. It feels like you're just having a conversation with a friend over a cup of coffee about what is going on in their life right now, which typically whenever we get on a phone call or with a friend, or you have a sister too, I have a sister, you know, and immediately what do we talk about? What's not going well, right? We talk about our day, how hard things are. So I think, you know, it becomes less awkward when you just come from that place of helping that one person. If I can just help one person feel less alone, less stuck, feel more excited or more empowered, you know, even though I sometimes feel like empowered is an overused word, like I think it really good social media is a conversation. You know, when you say show up, I automatically assume social, but I mean all of the places as well. You know, I think really good visibility is just having meaningful conversations with people that you have the ability to change their world in some way. And that might be a small way in terms of just giving them a boost for the day, or with what you and I do, it's empowering women to generate their own revenue and chart their own course and create a freedom they never thought possible. So yeah, it's a beautiful question, and I am grateful that you asked. What about you? How do you make it? Because you're so not awkward on social. Like you seem it's effortless when I look at you.
Oh, goodness. Well, it didn't start that way, that's for sure. There are so many awkward videos of me on YouTube from like 10 years ago. I think, you know, in terms of showing up now and not feeling awkward, I deeply know what my audience needs because I ask them all the time. And then I just speak to it. So I think I want to be able to answer their deepest burning questions and be able to provide them some relief and strategy on where to move from here. So I think that that's always the most, I think of those gym scenarios where you meet with a personal trainer and that trainer's super awkward, like, yeah, you need, like, we should probably like tone up your arms and tone up that booty or whatever. And you're like, dude, I didn't even ask, like, back off. So I think that's what it's like. Don't be that person that, you know, doesn't know what anyone wants and spray, pray and hope for the best. But the more that you're in tune with your audience and what they deeply need, and the more that you ask, the easier that conversation is. And obviously the more engagement that you get from it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
There's one tip that I would give that I think has helped me along the way is to find the people whose content really resonates with you. Because my guess is if it resonates with you, it's not awkward. There's something about it that is beautiful and eloquent and meaningful to you, and just consume more of it. And so to give an example, like when I first started my podcast, I was very focused on getting it right and very sounding professional. And the more I listened to, I would say, I mention her almost every episode, Brooke Castillo and Amy Porterfield, but especially Brooke Castillo. She has this beautiful way of not taking it too seriously, and she's got a great laugh, and she talks about her personal life as well as making it applicable. There was just something in her content that I think I've just naturally absorbed her style over time. And so, if you like listening to Ashley, subscribe to her podcast. If I'm your jam, make sure you're listening to every podcast episode of mine, just because you're going to find your content starts to become better for it. It's kind of like osmosis, I think, when you surround yourself with great, inspiring content that you're consuming, you're going to naturally put out great content as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I find the more that I listen and have those voices in my head, like absorbing and shaping my thoughts, the more that I'm able to deliver to my audience. I totally agree with that. I think that's a really important reason to be developing yourself and to be consistently listening to stuff that you love.
Yeah, I used to really think that, and this is the last thing I'll say, I used to really think that I needed to be a certain way for people to find value in what I did. And then I realized, actually, the more me I am, the more I allow my true personality, you know, my quirkiness, all of the weird idiosyncrasies about me, the more I let that, and the stories that I tell about my life and my family, if I can let that shine through, yeah, there's going to be loads of people who look at that and it's not their cup of tea. And that's fine because they're not who I'm doing it for anyway. But it's it's just going to draw those other people who dig it. It's going to bring them so much closer to you so much faster. That's the biggest thing that I have seen with having a podcast, is how quickly it draws people to me and how quickly they want to work with me in some capacity, because they're getting the real me on the podcast. And they all, this is the thing, I'm sure you get this as well. When people meet you, they're like, you are just like you are on the podcast. Do you get that too?
I haven't actually, I feel like I haven't even been so much out of my house since my podcast started. So after the quarantine, I'm hoping I get that. Would be compliment. I would love to hear that, people.
Oh, you totally, well, because I know you in real life too. And before you had a podcast, I can tell you for sure, you're one of those personalities that people are drawn to, and it really shows in your podcast. And congrats on all of your amazing success. I'm just so super proud of you and so pumped for you of what's to come, both in your business and your family. Yeah. You're going to be a mama. You're going to be a mamapreneur.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah. We're excited. And I really appreciate you taking time to chat with me today. I mean, every time I chat with you, I feel like it could just go on for hours. You're so fun to talk to, so many great ideas. And I'm just, yeah, so honored to be, yeah, a part of your podcast and a part as well.
Well, back at you, lady.
Thank you so much for listening to Social Selling Simplified. Now, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode, because you never know when there's going to be a guest or a topic that absolutely changes your business and changes your life. I'd also love for you to leave us an honest review that we can definitely be in touch with what you want to hear more of and what topics are really making an impact in your business. Now, if you want to take it a step further, there is an awesome quiz that we've put together to help you understand what you need to do to grow your social selling business. Now, when you go to ashleyshaw.ca/quiz, you're going to be able to discover the biggest priorities in your business, how to remove roadblocks, and hone in on where to spend your time and create the social selling business of your dreams. And that's at ashleyshaw.ca/quiz. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time on Social Selling Simplified.